Hey everyone, welcome to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. On this podcast, we share some thoughts from our weekly gatherings as home churches, as well as our messages from when we all get together. It's our desire to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we hope that this podcast encourages you to walk in that way. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Caleb and Shannon here with the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. We are back in the book of John with our church on Saturdays, just taking our time studying through the Gospel according to John. And so we find ourselves this past weekend in John chapter 10. And this is probably a fairly well-known passage among people in church, at least, with Jesus and a few of his I Am statements in here. But before we let Shannon get into it today on the podcast, I want to kind of just set up the context of this, because it's real easy for churches and pastors and people to just pick out a random chapter of the Bible, and I'm just going to study this and not look about what's really been happening before it. And I feel like John chapter 10, that's really easy for people to do, because I've even taken verses from John chapter 10. Like one of my favorite verses, John 10:10, where Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I feel like we can kind of apply those things or verses in this a little bit wrongly if we forget that what just happened was chapter 9. And I love how you mentioned on Saturday, it's easy to forget that when the Bible and these letters and books were written, they didn't have verse numbers and chapter numbers and all of this. It was just one straight thing. And so John chapter 9, in case you forgot, was Jesus healing the man that was born blind. And so we won't rehash the whole story, but this man was born blind, Jesus healed him, and then starts a big old riot almost with the Pharisees. They end up kicking this guy out of their building, their church. They're like, "We're excommunicating you." His parents really probably even disowned him. They at least wouldn't stick up for him, for sure. And Jesus finds the man, reaches out to him, and he asked him if he believed in the Son of Man, and the man ended up putting his trust in Jesus. And then we get this kind of last little section of John chapter 9 where Jesus has this conversation with some Pharisees. And really John chapter 10 is a continuation of that conversation. And so it's easy to miss that, but Jesus was talking with these Pharisees, and they asked him the question, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, this is verse 41 of John chapter 9, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." And then, boom, John chapter 10, Jesus starts out with "truly, truly." And so I won't take it from you, Shannon, but go ahead and lead us in there, John chapter 10.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared the context, because it is really vital, because you have this man, this blind man who has this life-altering experience, and he basically is willing to forsake his whole cultural heritage to follow the Messiah, the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the Pharisees are over there, and they're going, you know, "Oh, wait a minute, we're these religious leaders, we know the law and all of these things and whatnot. You're trying to say that we're missing the boat too?" And so he's like, man, they're not, Jesus is like, okay, they're not getting it. So I'm going to share a little story with them. And it's really cool, because chapter 10 begins with those two awesome words that Jesus uses that should be perking your ears up. And that's "truly, truly." So now Jesus is getting serious with them. And they would understand that. See, that's the thing. When he said "truly, truly," in their cultural context, they're going to be like, okay, he's saying, "Listen up," right? So they're thinking maybe something profound. But what he does is he shares this really, really cool story. In fact, John even calls it a figure of speech. You know, some people, some scholars out there call this a parable. Some don't. A little bit of a debate there. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a parable, per se, I do kind of see it more as a figure of speech, an illustration. He's telling this story to try and get them to open up. And so what he does, verses 1 through 5, is really, it's the overall theme of this whole thing. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out, or when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And this figure of speech Jesus used with them, and then the key is they did not understand what he is saying to them. So he uses this illustration trying to get them to think, and they now they're going, okay, this guy really is a lunatic, because now he's telling stories about sheep. And what they're missing is the fact this is coming from, like you said, that story about the blind guy who was part of the Jewish sheepfold. And that's what he's using here. You've got the thief, you've got the shepherd, and you've got the sheepfold in this. And you've got the religious leaders who are the thieves, you've got the shepherd who is Jesus, and you've got the sheepfold, which is their cultural, religious background, Judaism. It's their life. And so basically what he's saying is the proper way to handle the sheepfold is through the door. The only person who doesn't go about the right way is a thief and a robber. He's a hack. He's not the real deal. And if you go all the way back through the scriptures, you can see where God, you know, gets on his people for being that very thing. In fact, we looked at a lot of verses from Isaiah and Zechariah and different places, Ezekiel, where it talks about, he compares the good shepherd that leads his flock, and then the bad shepherds who were looking at their own things and gaining their own wealth and leaving the people to be eaten by wolves. And so Jesus is going to tie into all of that prophetic imagery about him when he starts talking about he's the good shepherd. He's that good representative that you see in the prophets. You all are not. You're the thief and the robber. And so basically what he's getting at here is he says the shepherd comes in by the door and he leads his people out. So the proper leader, the proper shepherd, ultimately the Messiah, is the one who enters the right way, and those who know his voice and follow, just like the sheep. Yeah. And so what he's trying to tell them, he's trying to answer their question. It's like, guys, you miss it. You're still trusting in your own traditions, and you're not getting what God was trying to tell you this whole entire time. You're not the shepherd. You should have been, but you're not. And if you were, you would have known everything pointing to the Messiah, and that would have been Jesus, and you would have gladly followed as well. And that's really the essence of what Jesus is getting at. And we know that because verse 5 says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, and they didn't understand what he was saying at all. So what he does then, verses 7 through the end, is the same story. It's the same imagery, but now he starts getting deeper. He gets a little bit more involved with it. He starts off again, truly, truly, and then he has a series of I am statements. So he's using the I am statements. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now he's making it pretty clear. I don't remember that illustration I just said. I'm the door. I'm the entry point. he's going to mirror that later in chapter 14 when he has that verse that everybody knows, I'm the truth, the way, or I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's going to mirror this same idea later on. So he's the door. Anyone enters by him will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So that is the way. You go any other way other than through Jesus, you're missing it. And he says the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And that's what the religious leaders of their day did. They either sold themselves out to Rome, they compromised the scriptures and the word. They elevated their own traditions. They elevated their status instead of taking care of the people, which is what they should have done from the get-go. And so he starts comparing and contrasting himself to them, trying to get them to wake up. And he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, you're not giving them life. They're squandering. Here's this guy who was blind, wallowing in the street while you're sitting high and mighty in your big status, in your fine clothes, and you're not taking care of him. And then he gets his vision back, and now you're upset, and you boot him out of the very thing that should be taking care of him. And that's what he kicks in with verse 11 with another awesome I am statement. I am the good shepherd. And now he is tying himself with messianic prophecy. And I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Here we got a little picture into what he's going to be doing. He who's a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And that's exactly what the religious leaders did. And then the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And they're treating people like they're nothing. And that's the challenge that he is giving to these Pharisees. And we kind of get from the context at the end of chapter 9 that it's not all of them. It's only a handful, because it says some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we blind? So it wasn't the whole group. It may have been a group that was a little more curious. Maybe they kind of wanted to believe, but they're still fighting. And so that's why Jesus is sharing this with them. I think one of the ways to look at it is We have a tendency sometimes to look at the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the scribes in this as these wicked, vile, evil people. And I think that's totally wrong. These are people who were very devout in what they believed and really focused. And it may have been self-centered and self-focused, but they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, and I think Jesus here is pleading with them, is trying to get into their minds and their hearts and be like, hey, knock off that tradition and start looking at the truth. You know, look at how Paul talked about himself. You know, he was zealous. He thought he was doing God's work until all of a sudden he was blinded, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. We can't always look at these guys as the vile bad guys, per se. They're hard-hearted and blind. And maybe this group is a group that hopefully was a little softened by this. So he's really challenging them with this, and he's tapping into, I mean, I am statements. Purely talking about God and connecting him to Messiah through that. The Good Shepherd, again, tying to him as the Messiah. The door, and only through him do you get life. You know, the true flock follows the good shepherd. You know, so he's tying into all of these things that should have gotten them thinking. And there's a cool statement that we ended with, and I'll kind of wrap it up right here because I stopped right at verse 16. And he makes a really cool statement. And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Okay, that's talking about that sheepfold, which represents Judaism. They're not of this fold. And I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock, one shepherd. That's really cool stuff because, and I won't get into it too deep, but it ties into that initial core message of what Israel was supposed to be doing with the nations. And it also points at some cool things on how this new flock, where you've got the old fold and the new fold together as a brand new thing, you know, that he's starting something new here. And so there's a lot of cool stuff that we're going to be going over and looking at as far as this goes when we get back to verse 16. But I think the heart of all of this, which is really important for us to think and grasp, is it's Jesus who's leading the sheep. It's Jesus who's calling the sheep. It's Jesus who's forming the fold. It's not believers. It's not legalism. It's not the church. It's not all of these things. It's Jesus who's forming, and we got to be willing to be part of the flock and let him do his work. You know, he says later to his disciples in the Gospels, he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Paul says, you know, God brings the increase. And so I think sometimes we forget that in the church, and we try and step into that role. So really cool stuff. He's really pleading with the religious leaders, hoping that they'll open up their eyes to what he's saying. He's making it very plain and pretty straightforward, while at the same time intriguing enough to hopefully spark their imagination. But we'll definitely be going into this further with next Saturday, so I'm excited for that. So
good stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the complex we have in America, I think, is to make everything about us, and it's kind of the opposite of what Jesus was saying, right? Great stuff. We are going to pick up this week in verse 16, and so if you're listening to the podcast, we'll be back next week for 16 through, we'll probably, I think, getting through about verse 21 or so. And hope you're enjoying this study of John. If you have missed any of our previous ones from John, we've got a bunch, chapters 1 through 9 we've done so far, so feel free to go back and listen to those, and let us know if you have any questions, and we will be with you next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Motion Church Weekly. As always, head over to our website at motionchurch.life or follow us on social media to keep up with the latest from Motion Church. We hope you have a great week.